Bert Kampfert and his orchestra, Tuxedo Junction. Auditions for Sugar, the fall opener of the Portland Civic Theater's 50th anniversary season on the main stage, will be held at the theater on June 8th and 9th at 7:30 p.m. Take it in. I think you'll enjoy it. And Betsy Palmer stars in tonight's CBS Radio Mystery Theater drama as a woman who refuses to believe her husband dead after he was reported lost in a cave-in. A chance encounter seems to bear out her belief. Listen for Someday I'll Find You on CBS Radio Mystery Theater tonight at 11:08 right here on KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford heads for Spain in about an hour following the two-day NATO summit meeting in Brussels. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president said he is extremely pleased with the NATO summit, during which he strongly reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to the alliance. But the president made it clear he is concerned about one NATO member, Portugal.
I did point out the contradiction that would arise if communist elements came to dominate the political life of Portugal. And it's my judgment that others among the allies had a somewhat similar concern. There is a general agreement that the situation must be watched with care and concern, but also with deep sympathy and friendship for the people of Portugal.
The president, while in Spain, will be discussing renewal of U.S. base rights in that country. More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi, I'm Mike Roy.
And I'd be Denny Bracken for Mike Roy's Cooking Things.
Tomorrow, Denny, we're serving a super Sunday special. Great for Sunday dinner, for those who like ham. And economical, because you don't need the whole ham. Slices thick will do.
What's this, for a single or maybe a couple with small families?
Well, we call it orange cranberry glazed ham, and it's just beautiful, but it takes an inch and a half thick slice of ham.
Oh, it's a ham that ham, huh? Yeah. We're going to ham it up tomorrow, is that it?
That's the idea.
Boy, and we got the perfect porker to do that on Mike Roy's Cook Thing, I tell you, on CBS.
About 600 longshoremen and clerks went on strike 2 hours ago at Boston Harbor. It's a contract dispute with Boston shippers centering around the issue of guaranteed annual incomes for the workers. Alan Greenspan, the chairman of President Ford's Council of Economic Advisors, says recovery from the recession will speed up later this year, but he says unemployment could go above 9% before starting to fall. His projections indicate unemployment could remain high for several years to come. The forecast triggered this response from AFL-CIO chief economist Nat Goldfinger.
What's being predicted here in today's report from the administration is 5 consecutive years of 6 million to over 8 million unemployed. Now, this is utterly shocking in terms of human values, of family and social values. Moreover, it's an economic waste, and it's a real danger to American society.
Nat Goldfinger of the AFL-CIO. The United Auto Workers Union is asking the federal government to declare some 39,000 Chrysler workers eligible for special unemployment benefits. The UAW claims the workers are entitled to the benefits because they lost their jobs due to foreign competition. The union cites imports of 2 Chrysler models built in Canada. The new federal clean air standards will go into effect across most of the nation Saturday midnight. New anti-pollution requirements approved by Congress are legally binding as of June 1st. But the Environmental Protection Agency says only 89 of the 247 regions involved appear to be in compliance. The regulations set maximum levels of such pollutants as smoke, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, smog, and nitrogen dioxide. The Treasury Department says the government will sell about 500,000 ounces of gold from the national stockpile at public auction on June 30th. At current prices, that gold could be worth about $83 million. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication?
Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Exiled Soviet author Alexander Solzhenitsyn has painted a grim picture of the status and the future of the West. In an article for the French newspaper Le Monde, Solzhenitsyn says the Third World War has already been fought and the West has been defeated. He says that war started just after the Second World War and ended this year with the communist sweep of Indochina. Solzhenitsyn says the powerful Western countries have grown weaker in 30 years of peaceful coexistence, have lost allies, territory, and respect to an implacable enemy. He concludes that another two or three decades of peaceful coexistence and the very concept of the West will vanish from the face of the earth. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Richard Marquette has pleaded guilty to a charge of murder stemming from the April 19th slaying of Betty Lucille Wilson. The woman's dismembered body was found near the Marion County Sanitary Landfill south of Salem. Marquette entered the guilty plea in an appearance before Marion County Circuit Court Judge Val Sloper in Salem today. Judge Sloper imposed the mandatory life sentence and said Marquette would serve it consecutively with the current sentence he is serving for murder. Marquette was on parole at the time of Mrs. Wilson's death. Marion County District Attorney Gary Gortmaker says he intends to recommend that Marquette not be held in either the Oregon State Penitentiary or the Oregon State Correction Institution. Gortmaker says he feels Marquette is a troublemaker. Gortmaker said Marquette will probably be held in either a federal penitentiary or in a state prison outside of Oregon. The Oregon House of Representatives would like to see the senior citizens, especially the older ones, continue to remain in their own homes rather than be sent to nursing homes. By a unanimous vote, the House Friday agreed to state aid that makes it possible for such citizens to remain at home. The House approved and sent to the Senate a bill that would provide $1 million for home services, such as house cleaning and meal preparation for the elderly, who are healthy but can't fully take care of their homes. The Oregon House has passed and sent to the Senate two measures as part of the state employees' pay package. One measure would increase from 11 cents to 14 cents per mile an employee's reimbursement for using his own car on state business. The other designates Friday as a holiday when the legal holiday falls on a Saturday. The Oregon House has approved a mass transit division budget of more than $1.25 million, including, for the first time, some general fund money for the state's existing mass transit districts. Under the bill, the Tri-County District of the Portland area would get $677,000 to buy 50 buses, and the Lane Mass Transit District would get $275,000 for 25 buses. In addition, $400,000 has been set aside for use if a Marion Polk County Transit District is formed. The measure also imposes a payroll tax, and $18,000 is allocated to aid the new Rogue Valley Transit District in starting its program. The weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver area: mild tonight, continued warm Saturday, but slight cooling on Sunday. Lows in the mid-50s, highs Saturday in the upper 80s, Sunday in the low 80s. Chance of measurable rainfall near zero through Saturday. Right now in downtown Portland, the temperature stands at 71 degrees. That's KOIN News to 8:30 after 11. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. There's a very fine line between life and death. So fine, it prompted one writer to tell us that in the midst of life, we are in the midst of death. And in the story that follows, we'll see that
Where there's love and a will to survive, survive we must. We are going on a journey into the macabre. Come with me to a breathtaking cavern in southern Arizona. Roger Marco, professor of geology, is leading a party of his students on a rock hunting expedition. They're deep below the surface of the earth in this little-known cavern, chipping at specimens of sparkling stone.
Hold that light a little higher, Joe.
Okay.
That's better. Now, can everyone see clearly?
Yes, sir.
Now, this is a splendid example of pyrite.
Oh, pyrite!
You'll remember that this is also known as fool's gold because of its yellow color. It's used primarily... Wait. Listen. Good Lord, it's a cave-in! Everybody out!
Our mystery drama, Someday I'll Find You, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Bob Juren and stars Betsy Palmer. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Radio, it's been doing nice things for you for years. It wakes you up. It keeps you company in your car. It fills your life with music. It fills your mind with ideas. It informs, entertains. And radio does something else. It sells. Quickly, easily, creatively, efficiently. Consider that last word, efficiently. As a businessman, you know how all costs, including advertising, have been skyrocketing. You know what adflation means. A major advertising agency has just reported that line rates for the largest metropolitan dailies in the top 50 markets rose 12% over the past year. But what about radio? The same study revealed the cost for buying radio in the top 50 markets increased only 3%. What else can you buy today that only costs 3% more than it did a year ago? Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
I live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once. And Mommy and Daddy were upset with each other a lot. My Mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess Mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they help people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference.
From a cavern in southern Arizona, we go now to a fashionable apartment in Chicago. The home of Professor Roger Markle. Anne Markle, the professor's wife, is in her dressing room getting ready for the opera. Her sister Madge is at the living room bar, mixing a batch of cocktails.
Olive or lemon peel, Anne?
Olive.
Since when did you take up martinis?
Oh, about 2 years ago.
Has it been that long since I've seen you?
Not since Mother's funeral.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I wish you'd visit us more often, Madge.
Hey, will you sit me up?
Sure. Yeah. You know you're always welcome, and Roger is so fond of you.
Oh, honey, you know how it is. We all get into our little ruts.
Well, you've just got to stay on a few days after Roger gets back. He's dying to see you.
Well, that can be arranged. I've nothing to rush home for.
He's due back Sunday. What's he doing this time?
Well, he has a group of students exploring some cave in Arizona.
Oh.
And he wants to write a book about it.
Here's your martini,
oh, thanks, dear.
I'm sure it'll be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
The book, I mean.
Oh. Well, in his position, he has to publish. It's expected.
Well, all the more reason to be proud of him.
And I am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd better call the taxi if we want to make dinner before the...
No, I'll get it, dear. I'll get it. You finish your drink.
All right. But it might be the valet. I had two of Roger's suits sent out.
Yes?
Mrs. Markle?
No. I'm her sister.
Is she at home, please?
Yes, she is. What is it?
Detective Holmes, ma'am. I'd like to see Mrs. Markle.
The police?
Yes.
Who is it, Madge? Who's out there?
Come in.
What's the matter, Madge?
I don't know, Anne. This gentleman is from the police.
Police?
Mrs. Markle?
Yes?
I'm Detective Holmes, 31st Precinct.
Oh.
Would you both sit down, please?
Well, what is this?
It's about your husband, Mrs. Markle. Professor Roger Markle of the University.
Roger? What is it? What's happened?
Well, we've had word from the state police in Arizona. He was exploring a cave.
Yes. There.
There was a cave-in early today, and Mr. Markle hasn't been found.
Oh, dear God.
No, I don't quite understand. You say that Roger was in a cave-in?
Yes, three of the students who were with him escaped. They say Professor Markle got them to safety, but before he himself could get out, the whole wall of the cavern collapsed.
Oh, no. No.
Well, that's the story we get from Arizona. Of course, we'll want to question the students more fully when they get home. They're being flown in tonight.
But my husband, Roger's still out there.
Now, we're not sure of anything yet, Mrs. Markle. They say he must have been buried in the collapse. There was no sign of him. They tell us the crews are digging,
I've got to go to him. I'll have to fly out tonight.
And, dear, there's nothing we can do.
No, I don't expect to do anything, but I have to be with him. I just have to be there.
Mrs. Markle, the best thing you can do is stay right here. We'll keep you informed regularly the minute we hear anything.
Keep me informed? My husband is dying under tons of earth, and you expect me to sit here waiting to be informed?
All right, Anne, we'll go. We'll fly out tonight. I think we really have to go, Sergeant. If they find him alive, she ought to be there.
That's up to you, ma'am.
Why are they giving up? Why? Anne, dear, there's no use digging anymore. They've hit solid rock. And Roger's been under there for more than 48 hours. There's just no hope. They can't get to
him. No, we came all this way, and they've given up.
Darling, they did all they could.
The least they could do is give me his body to bury.
Oh. Anne, dear, let me take you home with me.
No, I want to get back to Chicago. There's so many things that I have to take care of.
All right, dear, we'll go back to Chicago. I'll stay with you until you're settled. More coffee, Anne?
No, thank you.
Dinner was lovely. Anne, I've got to bring this up sometime.
I know. You want to be getting home.
Well, it's been more than a month now. You know I'd stay as long as you need me, but I've got to get back to Texas for a while. I'll even come back here in a few weeks if you want.
No. No, Madge, I've got to start adjusting. It's time you did go home.
Oh, my dear.
You know you've been wonderful, and I just couldn't have gotten through this without you. But you do have your own life, and I've got to start remaking mine.
I think the sooner you try, the better you'll be.
Somehow I don't feel like a widow. I feel as though any minute I'm going to hear Roger's key in the door.
I know, Anne, I know. When Ed died, I used to hear, or thought I heard, him coming in the back door. Once I even thought he was in the shower.
Oh.
Darling, we just don't change overnight. It takes a long time getting used to.
You buried Ed. You had a funeral.
I know.
You know, it's just impossible to believe death like this. I have to take the word of someone that I don't even know that my husband is dead.
Yes, I suppose that's even harder to accept.
I just don't have any choice.
Well, I'll try to get a flight out Sunday. Darling, you've got to promise me one thing.
Oh, anything, ma'am.
That you'll come visit me.
I promise. Maybe in the fall. Right?
Definitely in the fall. I'll hold you to it. And I'll call you every Sunday.
Oh, yes. Yes, we must keep in touch. And much more often than we have been. But now, don't you worry about me, Madge. I do have lots of friends here at the university, and I'll be all right in time. Hello.
Anne?
doing, Madge?
Well, when I called last week, you seemed more cheerful.
Oh, you know how it is. Day to day.
Well, I'm holding you to our bargain. I'll visit in the fall. It's the 1st of October.
Yes. Roger's birthday.
When can I expect you? Our Texas hospitality is ready and waiting.
Oh, I hadn't thought about it, Madge, but how about a week from today? Yes, I think I could fly out on the 8th.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that. I'm dying to see you.
Oh, and I want to see you, too. I'm so anxious to talk with you.
That's what sisters are for. I'll expect you a week from today.
You're looking wonderful.
Oh, I wish I felt it.
Listen, 1 week under our Texas skies and you'll be a different woman.
Oh, I'm a different woman, all right.
How was the plane trip?
I hardly noticed.
Oh, that's the way it is with these jets. They're so smooth, you'd hardly know you're flying. Olive, right? You're still drinking martinis, aren't you?
Well, I haven't had a drink since the accident.
Well, it's time you did. Oh, here's to, what?
Not much to drink to anymore.
I'm sorry. I should have realized. There's nothing worse than phony cheerfulness when you're ripped apart inside. But I thought you'd be a little better by this time.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way, Madge.
I was doing it for myself, I guess. And I don't know what to say.
Well, I thought time would help. I'm not over it. I'll never get over it.
I'm so glad you came anyway. It shows you're not wrapping yourself into a cocoon.
Well, I haven't had the time to do that. The university wants me to go back to teaching.
Well, that's a marvelous idea.
Oh, they're just being nice.
But
I might take them up on it. When Roger was alive, he was my life. But now I have to do something.
Well, for the next 2 weeks, you have nothing to do but relax.
Oh, I wish I could relax. If I ever get over this terrible nagging feeling.
It takes time, dear. Roger's death was a shock to you.
That's what nags me. I've had the feeling that Roger is not dead. It gets stronger.
Anne, don't torture yourself with that. I know you and Roger were very close. It's natural that at a time like this you'd feel a certain spiritual bond.
Oh, no, it's more than that, Madge. This is a certainty I have that Roger is alive. I don't think he died in that cave-in.
And sometimes we want to believe so strongly
so that we get carried away. No, no, no. This time I...
All right, Anne. Maybe I'm wrong. If it helps you to believe this way, that's best. If it makes getting up in the morning easier.
Oh, it does. But the nights. Oh, those nights.
Finish your martini. And I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight. We're going to El Vadro.
Across the border.
It's a typical Mexican border town, but loads of fun. Even on a Monday night.
Oh.
You just can't be unhappy with all that Latin music, the color, the light.
I don't know if I'm up to that, Madge.
Well, I know you don't want phony cheerfulness, but try a little gaiety, huh? Just for me.
Well, all right. And maybe I'll take another martini. I'm feeling looser already.
What'd I tell you?
It is exciting.
Hey, how about a fresh taco?
Delicious.
Oh, somehow they're better from the street vendors.
Mm. Yeah, I would like to buy a silver piece. Uh-huh. I love Mexican silver jewelry.
I know the perfect shop. It's on a side street.
Ah.
They sell all sorts of stuff, but their silver counter's the best in town.
Great.
Come on. I spend almost every other weekend down here.
Oh, I love it.
It is garish, though, Mad, don't you think?
Of course.
That's what makes it delightful.
Madge.
Yes?
Look, in the front of that shop, the pictures.
What about them?
I've got to have a closer look.
Anne, what's the hurry? What is it?
Look at this painting, Madge. Oh, yes. You see it, too.
Well, Anne, now, really, it's a good likeness.
But even to the little mole on his neck.
Oh.
Madge, this is a painting of Roger.
an exact likeness. And look at the date below the artist's name. August of this year.
Yes, I see.
That was 3 months after the accident.
Can it really be a portrait of Anne Markle's late husband, Roger? It's not easy to have your portrait painted 3 months after you're presumed dead. Unless, of course, you aren't dead. Madge seems to think it's just a likeness, that it's not really Roger Markle in the painting. But try to convince Anne of that. You'll see how impossible that is when I return shortly with Act Two.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. They even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
What are you building with your blocks?
I want to make a world bigger than me.
Oh, well, it looks pretty good.
Yep, except it needs more blocks.
Well, what are you putting into your world?
Trees and stores and garages.
Is there anything that you're not going to put into your world?
Hats.
No hats?
Because I'm not going to put any rain in this world.
Oh.
So nobody needs hats.
Dave's getting pretty big.
It's only as tall as me.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Okay.
Your world fell apart?
Yep, except I'm going to build it again.
And what kind of world are you going to build next?
A world that don't ever fall down.
You can build a better world, too. Just begin.
Can you give me that block, please?
From the Franciscans, with love.
The long arm of coincidence seems to be injecting itself into Anne Markle's life. In a small Mexican border town, she has found a portrait of her husband, presumably painted 3 months after he was buried under tons of earth and rock in an Arizona cave-in. Surely it's coincidence that some artist painted the portrait. But I wonder, perhaps the artist had a model for his painting. Anne has never accepted the fact of her husband's death.
It is Roger. There's no doubt. The face, the expression in the eyes, it's Roger.
Can you make out the artist's name?
Let's see, there's an initial E-C-R-E-M... Crenshaw. E. Crenshaw.
Signora is interested in the painting?
Oh, very much. It happens to be a portrait of my husband.
Ah, Signora will surely want to buy it.
Oh, yes, I'll buy it. But I must know where you got it.
Why, from the artist. I represent him here. I receive his work on... Oh, you call... It's a big American word.
Consignment.
See, that is what he calls it. I display them here and get 20% of the selling price.
Where can I find this artist, this E. Crenshaw?
Signora is interested in buying the portrait.
No, I'm more interested in finding the artist.
Would $50 be satisfactory?
$100. If you'll take me to the painter, I must talk to him.
Sold for $100.
Right.
American, of course.
Yes.
The painter lives just outside the town in the flat.
Yes, and now can you get me his address?
Oh, Signora, there are no addresses in the flat.
Oh,
just ask anyone for the Americano.
American.
Or look for the greenhouse at the end of the row.
Oh.
It is the only one that's painted. Excuse me, Signora, I will wrap the painting.
Anne, you're only going to hurt yourself even more. The man who posed for this can't be Roger.
I'll know when I talk to this E. Crenshaw. I'll be able to tell by his answers whether it was Roger or not, but I already know it is.
You're not thinking of going there tonight.
Why not?
Well, there aren't any street lights out there. Practically no streets. The flats are nothing but tar paper sheds.
Well, we should take me there first thing in the morning. Please, Madge. No wonder there aren't any addresses. There aren't any streets.
Well, that's what I told you last night. The flats are a sore point with the village government.
Well, why should this Crenshaw want to live out here?
But it doesn't cost anything.
Oh, there's the greenhouse. Well, certainly different from the rest.
It's the artist's touch, no doubt.
Yes.
That's bigger than the others, too. And there's your artist. Looks like he's expecting us.
Oh, but how would he know?
Well, I imagine the grapevine is very well developed down here.
Oh, he's waving. Well, at least he seems friendly enough.
Good morning. Fine day, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Mr. Crenshaw?
Yeah, that's me. Welcome to my humble villa.
You were expecting.
I heard a charming American woman was interested in one of my paintings. Bought one, in fact.
May we talk? It's very important to me.
Certainly. This way, ladies. Fresh coffee on.
Thank you so much. I'm Anne Markle, and this is my sister, Madge Connors.
How do you do?
Doubly charmed. It's not much of a villa, but I like it. After you, ladies.
Oh, wow. What a pad. What do the natives think of it?
They think I'm crazy. Sit down.
Well, I would like to get right to the point, Mr. Crenshaw. This painting of yours.
Yes, I like that one. It's one of the best likenesses I've done.
Well, I'm convinced that the man in your painting is my husband.
Oh?
You painted this last August. Now, how did you meet him? Did he tell you his name?
No, as a matter of fact, he didn't seem to know his name.
What?
I met him in a bar one night, the Cantina Flora. He was sitting there staring into a beer. I started sketching him, and we got to talking. You don't mind?
No.
You've got a sensitive face. Musician?
No.
What's your business?
I don't know. I mean, lots of things. I'm not really sure.
Head a little to the left, please.
Mm.
No, thanks. I'm Ed Crenshaw. Jose, two more beers, please. Don't want to tell me your name?
Well, it doesn't matter. We all go through life anonymously anyway. Well, I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly.
Something wrong?
No. I don't think so. Why?
Well, you don't seem to... Nah, forget it. We all have our reasons. Question period over.
I'm, trying to get to Acapulco.
You've got a long way to go.
Yes, I know. I'm, trying to find a girl. A girl. I knew there once. A lovely girl. And, I can't quite remember her face. Her name was, Anne.
Oh. Running after instead of away from?
No, no. I seem to have run out of money.
Head just a little higher, please.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you $10 for posing. I can probably get you a ride to Acapulco tomorrow. For free. I know the comings and goings of everybody in town.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Well, that just about does it. Want to see it?
See what?
Here.
But that, that looks like someone I know.
Oh, I'll fill in the colors later. You stay here a minute. Have another beer. I want to make a phone call about that ride, okay?
Okay.
I went to the phone to call the police. This guy needed help. He wasn't drunk. He was dazed. He didn't know who he was. I figured the police might have something about a guy missing.
Mm-hmm. And?
I called him and then went back to the bar. He was gone.
Patch. Roger's alive. He's been here. He's alive and dazed, and we've got to find him. Now, do you believe me?
Yes, I do. Mr. Crenshaw, how was this man dressed?
Well, work clothes, sort of. Come to think of it, I remember noticing how his face didn't seem to go with the clothes.
No, my husband is a college professor, Mr. Crenshaw, and a geologist.
Oh, of course.
He was in those clothes because 6 months ago he was digging geological specimens in an Arizona cave, and there was a cave-in.
Oh.
And he was reported dead. I've been a widow for 6 months, but I never believed it. No, he escaped from that cave-in, and he is trying to find me.
What?
We spent our honeymoon in Acapulco 25 years ago, and I'm the girl he's trying to find. I'm Anne.
I know this sounds outrageous, Mr. Crenshaw, but I believe she's right. Professor Markle is obviously suffering from some sort of amnesia.
Can we notify the police between here and Acapulco to look for him?
Yes, but it's been, almost 2 months since he was here. A long time.
Madge, I want to go. Mr. Crenshaw, you've been so kind. May I offer you some money?
No money at a time like this. But promise to let me know what happens.
Oh, I promise. I do promise. Come on, Madge. I'm going to the police, and then I'm flying to Acapulco, to the hotel where we spent our honeymoon.
Good morning, Vida.
I have a reservation. Mrs. Anne Markle?
One moment, please. Yes, Mrs. Markle, room 511. Will you sign the registry, please?
Of course. May I ask how long you've been on the desk here?
4 years, madam.
Would you look at this painting, please? Tell me if this man has checked in here in the last month or two.
I would not want to get involved, madam. You would have to see the manager for that.
No, please. This is a painting of my husband. And I have a very strong reason to believe that he may have come here in the past 6 to 8 weeks. You see, my husband is suffering from amnesia.
Yes. This gentleman was here about 4 weeks ago.
Oh.
I remember him well.
You do?
Yes, he left without paying his bill.
I'll take care of it. I'll pay it. But tell me, when did he leave? Did he say where he was going?
No, madam. I remember I was on the desk when he came in. I had just come on to... Good afternoon, sir.
I'd like a room, please. A certain particular room.
Oh, we are fairly well booked, sir. Which room did you wish?
Well, it faces the water, and there's a little balcony. A balcony with flowers.
We have 200 rooms like that.
Oh. Well, let me think. 511. Yes, 511.
Let me take a look. You are in luck. Yes, 511 is available. Would you sign the register, please?
Yes.
Is there something wrong, sir?
No. Just, just trying to think. I'm meeting my wife. I expect she'll be along shortly.
Yes, sir, Mr. Smith.
Smith?
You signed the register, Mr. Smith?
I did?
Wait, yes, sir.
How very curious. I wonder why I did that.
Well, sir...
My name is, That's funny. May I have the key, please?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to our room, and you tell Mrs., my wife I've already gone up.
I saw him around the hotel for a day or two, and then he vanished.
Room 511 was our honeymoon suite 25 years ago. Look, may I see the registry, please, of the day that he registered?
Oh, yes, madam. Let's see, September 20th, 15th, 30th. Yes, here it is. That is the gentleman's signature.
John Smith. Yes. That is my husband's handwriting.
He used the room, but never checked out. In fact, one moment. In the safe here, I have something one of the maids turned in. Would this have belonged to your husband?
I gave him this ring on our 10th wedding anniversary.
And this Mr. Smith was actually your husband?
There is no doubt of it now. How was he dressed?
Oh, I don't really remember, madam.
Well, was he in, like, work boots, you know, and the clothes?
No. If he had been, I would have hesitated to accommodate him. He was wearing an inexpensive suit, I believe, and he had only a small suitcase.
Yes, he must have bought the clothes in Il Vadro.
If Madame would care to consider the bill.
Oh, of course, and add it to mine. I'll be here for a while. I'm going to try and have the Acapulco police search for him.
They will be quite cooperative, Madame. But this was 4 weeks ago. Do you think he has reason to stay in Acapulco?
I don't know. He's suffering from some sort of memory loss, and all I can do is look for him, just as he seems to be looking for me. Hello?
Mrs. Margo?
Yes?
This is Manuel, on the desk downstairs.
Oh,
we talked yesterday about your husband.
Yes?
Something occurred to me last night. The day before he, disappeared, he came to the desk asking for his wife. No name, just my wife.
Yes.
And he said he wanted to find her because they had to be leaving for Los Angeles.
What?
He said his graduate classes were starting and he had to get back.
Of course. That's where he'd go next. Manuel, is it?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you have my bill made up right away? I'm flying out as soon as I can get a reservation. Oh, and would you have the operator place a call to Mrs. Madge Connors, Connors, and that's Laredo, Texas. The area code is 512-768-3112.
Anne, what is it?
Madge, I'm on my way to Los Angeles.
What?
I have one more lead to trace. A little apartment Roger and I had in Westwood when he was studying for his master's at UCLA.
Well, what brought that up?
Roger was here in Acapulco, Madge.
Are you sure?
I have Roger's ring. The one I gave him.
What?
They found it under the bed in the room he had. And the clerk remembered him. He says Roger told him that he had to get back to Los Angeles for graduate classes. And that's exactly where we went when we came back from our honeymoon.
Anne, I think it's time you went to the newspapers. You know, you can't skip all over the country.
No, I don't want that kind of publicity. Not for Roger.
But the papers can describe his condition. Someone knowing the story might see him, and they'll...
Well, I'll consider it after I've been to Los Angeles.
Do you want me to meet you there?
No, thanks, Madge. I'll go alone. And I'll call you, honey, from L.A. tomorrow.
All right, dear. I'll sit by the phone.
And pray, Madge. Oh, pray for me.
On a wing and a prayer, Anne Markle goes to Los Angeles for one more trace of her missing husband. It appears that Professor Roger Markle, stunned from the cave-in he escaped in Arizona, is wandering through his past life trying to find his wife, Anne. And Anne is frantically trying to follow his trail and, with luck, to intercept him. We'll pick up the trail that leads to a surprising outcome when I return shortly with Act Three.
Inside your feet. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird's call.
It's vacation time. The city is disappearing in your rearview mirror. Just you, your family, and Buick LeSabre. A great family car. Comfortable, accommodating, economical. In fact, published EPA figures show a LeSabre with a 5.7-liter V8 got 16 miles per gallon in the highway test and 12 in the city test. Couple that with LeSabre's 26-gallon gas tank, and you can put a lot of highway behind you in a single tank. LeSabre, you're going to love it.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, The gram, kilogram, and ton for weight. The kilometer per hour for highway speed. And the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
In these days of modern jet transportation, one can go anywhere in a matter of hours. The jet plane is indeed a magic carpet that can eliminate the distance between lovers and bring them together. Now Anne Markle rides such a magic carpet, settling gently on the runway at Los Angeles, closing the distance between her and her husband, whom she's sure is in this city, looking for her. A cab ride to a Westwood hotel, a restless night, and next morning we join Anne in front of a neat white garden apartment.
Yes?
You're the superintendent.
That's right. But we haven't got any vacancies, ma'am.
No. It's not that. I'm looking for someone.
Yeah?
Have you by any chance seen this man in this painting recently?
Last week.
Last week?
Yeah. Caught him trying to get into apartment 2A.
Our apartment.
What was that?
The man was my husband. We lived in apartment 2A 25 years ago.
25 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that explains it. He raised a hell of a fuss. Oh,
he's suffering from amnesia. What happened?
People in 2B called. Said some guy was hammering on the door to the apartment next door. I look out the window across the pool. Sure enough, this guy is on the balcony in front of 2A, banging on the door. I hightail it over.
Anne, open this door.
Hey, what's going on here? What you want?
I want to get into my apartment. Anne, are you in there?
This isn't your apartment. The Murphys live here.
I took this place a month ago, just before my honeymoon.
Look, Mac, if you want trouble, I know how to hand it out. Now, scram.
Who are you to tell me to get out? I'm getting Mr. Foster.
Mr. Who?
The super. Now, you're the one who'd better scram.
I'm the super.
The devil you are. I never saw you before.
Now, look, buddy. Let's go quietly, and I won't call the police.
Now,
otherwise...
why doesn't she answer?
Anne! Okay, let's go. Come on.
Anne, why don't you answer? Anne! Anne!
Anne. He called my name.
It was you he was looking for?
Oh, yes. And he called my name. That means he knows who I am. Maybe he even knows who he is by now. What happened then? Where did he go?
I ushered him out to the street and didn't see him again.
And this was a week ago?
A week yesterday. If he's like you say he is, the police might have picked him up. Why don't you try them?
Oh, if only they have.
Sure hope you find him soon. Fellow running around like that could get into trouble.
Madge, it's Anne.
Anne, what's the news?
Roger's on his way home to Chicago. I'm flying out immediately.
What?
Will you come and stay with me? I need you now, Madge.
Well, of course, I'll leave tonight. But how do you know he's going home?
He got a ride. He might even be there looking for me. And look, I'm going to tell you all about it when I see you. And I even hounded the airlines, trying to see if Roger might have flown out of Los Angeles during the week.
And nothing, right? Now, come on, stop the cat and mouse and tell me how you know Roger's in Chicago.
I was having lunch in a little coffee shop in the valley.
Yes?
A truck stop, really. And I'd been walking and showing Roger's painting. I guess people thought I was a crazy woman.
Well, it was a little erratic.
But I put the painting down on the counter, and when I ordered a chicken sandwich, the counter clerk looked at the painting and told me Roger had been there.
Oh.
He was positive, because as he put it, the guy was trying to get a ride to Chicago. Well, he told me one of the truck drivers offered Roger a ride, and they left together.
Oh, Anne!
Now, this was 6 days ago. All the time I was chasing around Los Angeles, Roger was on his way home.
Oh.
Well, I almost expected him to open the door for me when I got in this afternoon.
You weren't there, of course, but now at last we're in the same city together. Oh, Roger's coming home.
How about a movie tonight?
No. No, I want to go to Kelsey's.
Again? We've been there 3 nights in a row.
Madge, I feel so sure that Roger might turn up there. We spent so many happy evenings there when we first came to Chicago.
Oh, honey, we've got the police and all the newspapers on the lookout. Why don't we just sit tight?
I can't, Madge. I have to keep doing something to keep from going crazy.
Okay. Kelsey's it is. But I think that bartender is starting to wonder about us. Pretty sure at least that Roger's in Chicago or on his way.
Yes.
Just a matter of time. Why not try to relax?
I'm closer to him than I've been yet. I can't relax. It just might be any minute, even here. I feel that I'm doing something. Putting myself in his path, perhaps, only. But in his condition, anything might happen to him. I almost feel that I ought to be on the... Street, Matt. Matt, look at the window. Look.
What?
It's Roger. He's there on the sidewalk. He's looking right in at me. Roger?
Good Lord.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm in a terrible hurry. Excuse me. Roger? Anne, where is he?
I don't know.
I saw Roger at the window. I thought he saw me. He looked right at me, but he's gone. Oh, I've got to find him.
He can't be far.
Anne, wait. Wait, it's too late, Anne!
Oh, thank heavens for you, Lieutenant Holmes.
Well, I heard the call come over the radio. I'm curious. I knew immediately it had something to do with this Professor Markle.
I'm frantic about Anne. Where could she go?
Well, she could have turned down any of these side streets.
Oh, she's so upset she'd take any chance to find her husband.
Mrs. Connors, do you think Professor Markle is alive?
Why, of course.
I mean, Mrs. Markle isn't imagining this, wanting to hope.
I thought it might be like that at first, Lieutenant, but I was with her when she found the painting and when she talked with the artist. And then Professor Markle did turn up in Acapulco and in Los Angeles.
And you saw him tonight?
Well, Anne saw him first. My back was to the window, but when I turned, I saw someone moving away.
Well, if he's alive in this city, we'll find him tonight. Mrs. Markle, too.
Now, he just couldn't have gone this far so fast. He didn't recognize me. He looked as though he didn't even see me. Maybe I'd better go back. He couldn't have come this far. Oh, Roger, where are you?
Anne, over here.
Madge, is that you?
Oh, thank God we found you. I called the police. I'm with Lieutenant Holmes. Come, get in.
Oh, Madge. I've lost him.
I've sent out an alert on the whole area, Mrs. Markle. We'll find him. Get in. We'll keep on cruising.
I just didn't know which way to turn. I took a chance and went left, but he must have gone the other way.
We'll cruise back. Keep your eyes open. It's harder to recognize someone at night.
Madge. There, look.
Huh?
That man at the end of the block.
Where?
I think... Yes. Oh, stop, Lieutenant. Please stop. He's walking toward us. That's Roger's walk. It is Roger. See him? He's in the light of the street lamp now.
Anne?
Roger, over here, Roger.
Oh, he doesn't hear me.
Anne, wait.
Roger?
Anne, stop. Look out. That's him. Anne! Oh, God, Anne!
Car 51 to headquarters. Ambulance to Elmman Spring. Ambulance. Come on. Back, everybody. Please, stand back, everybody.
I can't look. Lieutenant, is she...
I don't know.
Oh, why did she run like that? It wasn't Roger. There wasn't anyone there on the street.
Anne, there you are.
Oh, Roger, at last.
I've been looking everywhere for you,
darling. I know, dearest. Oh, I knew you were alive all the time. I kept looking. I kept following you. I never gave up.
You were following me?
Yes.
Well, I was looking for you. I couldn't find you at the honeymoon suite, and then in Los Angeles, our old apartment, remember?
Yes.
You weren't there either. And I was confused. I kept trying to think, where would Anne go next? And then I knew. Yes, we left Los Angeles when I got the teaching job in Chicago.
And that's just what I did. When I learned you were on your way to Acapulco, I just knew you were looking for me in the old places. I tried to think where you'd go next.
Yes, two minds with a single thought.
Because we've been one since the day we were married.
Yes. Oh, Anne, I knew that someday I'd find you.
Come, Roger. Oh, let's go home.
Home?
Mm-hmm. To our apartment.
Oh, that isn't home for us anymore, Anne.
Roger, dear. I know you've suffered a terrible shock, but we'll work it out together. You'll be fine. It'll take time, but trust me.
You don't understand, do you, Anne?
Oh, I do, darling. And I'm going to help you.
No, I should have realized. It's too soon.
Well, what's too soon?
You'll understand in time.
What is it, Roger? What are you trying to say?
I didn't realize the truth until I saw you. And now I know. And you'll know soon, too, my darling.
Roger, I trust you. If you say so, then that's enough for me.
Come in. It's time for us to go. To be together, always.
And that's all I want, Roger. Is to be together, always.
Hey, don't look so worried. Let me tell you the trouble I had realizing just what was happening.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Connors. There's no pulse.
Oh, dear God.
Mrs. Markle is dead.
Love has a way of fulfilling itself. Across eternity, Anne and Roger Markle find each other. And Madge, earthbound and mourning for her sister, cannot know the joy Roger and Anne are sharing. She will bury her sister's body without the slightest inkling of Anne and Roger's present happiness, for they love one another and have found one another. And what more could either of them ask? I'll be back shortly.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Some people chase rainbows, others chase butterflies. We're all pursuing something in life, a hope, a dream, a mate, even happiness. And when the object of our pursuit is love, no barrier is too great to overcome. For love is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the monarch butterfly of all human needs and emotions. And in our story just concluded, it was a force that transcended even death. Our cast included Betsy Palmer, Joan Shea, Larry Haynes, Gil Mack, and Robert Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
You to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
bright and beautiful music comes your way from midnight to 6. World and national news on the hour with CBS. Chuck Knopf as local news. From KOIN in Portland, my name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow and a lovely weekend. See you on Monday. It's 12 midnight. Bye-bye.
CBS News. His trip to Brussels for the NATO summit now over. President Ford departs for Spain. He's scheduled to leave at this hour. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Madrid is preparing a warm welcome for the president. The city is decked out in American flags. The president wants to talk about an agreement to renew the deal under which U.S. bases are permitted in Spain. He also wants to try to establish a stronger role for Spain in Western defense, especially because of the shift toward the extreme left in Portugal. While in Brussels, Mr. Ford discovered that European leaders had another part of the world on their minds. Phil Jones reports.
The president came to Brussels to talk about Europe, but he said he found that in every meeting with European leaders, they wanted to discuss the Mideast. Mr. Ford indicated that he shared their sense of urgency on getting Mideast negotiations off deadlock.
We did reemphasize that our objective in the Middle East was peace, that we could not tolerate stagnation or a stalemate. We felt that movement was essential, and the recommendations that I do make sometime the latter part of June, early July, will be a position of movement aimed at the objective of a secure peace in the Middle East.
The president will concentrate fully on the Mideast conflict Sunday when he arrives in Salzburg to meet with Egyptian President Anwar Sadat. Phil Jones, CBS News, with the president in Brussels.
More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Bumbling Inspector Jacques Clouseau is back in search of the Pink Panther Diamond. And that can only mean lots of laughter for movie audiences everywhere. I'm Jerry Dunphy, your host for Entertainment West. Heard every Saturday over most of these CBS radio network stations. Tomorrow, I'll tell you about a special Pink Panther party. And talk with the film's creator, co-writer, and director, Blake Edwards. We'll also discuss what it's like working with wife Julie Andrews. That's Entertainment West tomorrow, right here on the CBS Radio Network.
The White House has revised some of its economic projections, saying unemployment for the year will be worse than it had expected. The administration now projects a jobless rate for the year at 8.7%. Administration officials also say the gross national product for 1975 will be down about 3.6%. But officials say that inflation is cooling off and prices will rise 9.1% for the year, down from about 12% in 1974. They also forecast a strong economic recovery in 1976. The Chrysler Corporation has announced plans to extend a $200 price rebate on some of its new cars through June. In Detroit, Chrysler official R.K. Brown says the rebate is helping Chrysler sales.
This program increased our daily sales rate of cars and compact vans by over 50%. In fact, during the first 20 days of May, Valiant outsold Nova and Maverick and the Pinto and Vega subcompacts on a car-line-for-car-line basis. The rebate program started on May 1st and has shown just a steady increase since that time, and we expect that increase to continue into June.
Chrysler says the rebate program is cutting into company profits, but employees are keeping assembly lines open. The Auto Workers Union says some Chrysler workers remain unemployed because the company is building cars in Canada and selling them in the U.S. The union says because of this, the government should act under a 1974 trade law and grant extra unemployment benefits to some 39,000 Chrysler employees. 600 longshoremen and clerks went on strike in Boston at midnight. Little cargo is affected because the strike was scheduled 2 months ago and shippers had time to prepare for it. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have manuscript ready or almost ready for publication?
or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. To GPO 1414 New York, New York. Whether it is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414 New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414 New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414 New York, New York. GPO Box 1414 New York, New York.
The London Daily Mail reports that two British explorers claim to have discovered the lost city of the Incas in South America. The report says the pair produced gold nuggets along with gold axe heads and statuettes to back the claim. They reportedly refuse to disclose the exact whereabouts of the city and say millions of dollars worth of gold is still there. Doug Poling, CBS News.
In news of the Northwest, a memorial service to Steve Prefontaine is scheduled Monday at Marshfield High School football and track stadium in Coos Bay. Funeral services also will be held in that city on that day. The Oregon Olympian distance runner in America, was killed in an early Friday morning auto accident in Eugene. An autopsy showed that he was intoxicated at the time of that crash. The Oregon legislature's original adjournment target date arrives today, but the lawmakers will be in session for another week. Legislative leaders had hoped for an adjournment by today, the end of 20 weeks, but action on several major bills is still pending. A main proposal among the unfinished business is legislation governing field burning. Richard Marquette of Salem has pleaded guilty to a charge that he murdered Betty Wilson of Sio on April 19th. Her dismembered body was found south of Salem. Judge Val Sloper of Marion County Circuit Court sentenced Marquette to life imprisonment. Marquette had pleaded innocent, and his trial was to begin on Monday. The Weyerhaeuser Company has announced it has reached tentative agreement with the International Woodworkers of America and the Western Council of Lumber Production and Industrial Workers. The contract proposal is for 2 years and covers about 12,000 employees at 11 Weyerhaeuser locations in Washington and Oregon. The Oregon House of Representatives would like to see unemployment benefit payments increased. The House passed and sent to the Senate Friday a bill to increase unemployment compensation payments starting July 1st of next year. The new schedule of payments would range from $37 up to $112 a week. At present, the range is $24 to $88 a week. The Oregon House has approved and sent to the Senate a bill to replace the State Water Resources Board with a Water Policy Review Board. The measure also would replace the state engineer with a Water Resources Director. Teledyne Wa Chang Albany has stopped recycling zirconium shavings. Two workers died at the plant April 29th in an explosion that the Oregon Workmen's Compensation Board says may have resulted from violations of safety procedures. The exact cause of the explosion is unknown. A spokesman for the firm says it would stop the part of its operation that is involved with the processing of fine pieces of the rare metal until a safer way of handling them is developed. Zirconium is used to make containers for nuclear material in power plant cores. The weather outlook for Portland, Vancouver, sunny and warm through Sunday. Highs both days, the mid to upper 80s. Lows tonight, the mid 50s. And northwest winds at 5 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of measurable rainfall near zero through tonight. Currently 69 degrees in downtown Portland. And that's KOIN News to 1209. This is Chuck Knopf.